Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to a special holiday edition of 11Z's, our usually subscriber exclusive episode, where we go through a movie voted on by the community every month. And for Christmas, and we did this for Spooktober, we are doing a public episode as well as a subscriber episode. With me today, he's Holly and Jolly. It's David.
Just don't say butthole.
Borderline.
Borderline. It's borderline.
It's borderline.
It's not medical.
No.
And she's not on the naughty list, thankfully, because Santa's going to have to whoop her ass if so. It's Alicia.
Glad to keep my head whole.
Or no, that's right. And no holes in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Spoilers.
I don't know if it's really possible to spoil this movie. It's not really a plot-driven movie. So I'm just going to say spoilers for the whole podcast. Like, it's not, there's no twist in this movie that's going to like ruin it if you know it.
At the end is a little, anyway.
Is it? I don't know. I guess there's a little bit of it, but I thought it was a fairly obvious twist too.
As long as you believe, everything will be okay in the end.
Everything's a twist.
Just gotta believe in Santa.
If you just believe in twists.
I'm pretty sure David and I are gonna physically fight over this movie today.
So I will. You know what? I was saving it. It's good content for the pod because the Christmas magic. You know, it worked on me a little bit.
Well, this is the pod, so you don't have to save it anymore.
Is the Christmas magic a comparison with Die Hard?
Yes, that helped. Somehow that helped.
Yeah, clearly this movie, I've heard of it before. Violent Night, by the way, we're talking about 2022.
Yeah, we might as well mention the title of the movie.
Yeah, it's quite the outline I made here. It's a cross between Die Hard, Home Alone, and John Wick, I've heard it as described as. And I feel like that's a fair assessment. I feel like that's a
pretty the Santa good Claus. Yeah.
and the Santa Claus, yeah. And like maybe Norse mythology. Who knows? We don't know what's going on there. But this is our public episode. This was voted on by the fans, and the fans also voted for Die Hard versus Die Hard 2 as our subscriber episode. Dave, do you want to take us through the voting results since you're our pollster resident?
A resident pollster, I guess. Don't ask me to predict anything else.
How's Iowa going to turn out in 2028?
I just run the polls. I don't predict them. Looks like we had a total of 38 votes, which is a high watermark. That is a high engagement level. Violent Night got 19 votes, so 50% of the votes. A Christmas Story got 8, and Krampus got 6, and the Santa Claus got 5. So I guess is that 8 plus 6 plus 5, 19? Yeah, so half, at least exactly half of the voters yeah. did not want Violent Nights.
Did not want Violent Nights.
There was like some grumbling because of the, yeah. the Die Hard as a Christmas thing. And you know what? I kind of was like, I was like, oh yeah, Die Hard Christmas, you know, like that whole, you know, beating chest and hair on fire, you know, silliness about Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. And I'm like, yeah, it is kind of over, isn't it? Like, we can just put that one aside. It's not a thing anymore.
But the people have spoken, a plurality at least of the people have spoken.
Sure.
So we are doing an action-packed Christmas this year.
That's right. And then we might recycle these for future years, right? These aren't necessarily going to go away. These other
yeah,
ones. The
yeah.
ones that didn't win. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be an ongoing list. We're going to have a lot of fun going forward.
I like it.
So
we if have you want to do an action ahead of us. If you want to do an action one next year, I still haven't seen that red one that people talk about on Netflix. Just saying.
Which one?
Was it red one? The one with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I think.
I do not know.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
Red
oh,
one.
It was, oh, it's a, it was a brand new one, I think, last year that was really popular.
Huh. Well, it shows you how much I'm paying attention. It definitely looks like an action-packed thing.
Yes.
Just from the poster
right.
art.
Okay. Right.
Got it. Well, yeah, maybe it'll get included.
So this movie, Violent Night, of course, starring David Harbour in 2022, was like a pretty big hit, actually.
Yeah.
This had a budget of $20 million and made $76.6 million at the box office.
Ooh, wow.
It has very good critic scores and very good... well, it has 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.5 out of 10 rating. So pretty good critic scores. And did really well on Rotten Tomatoes on audience score. I think people are big fans of this movie. It's just, to me, it's just like a very turn your brain off Christmas fun adventure. And yeah. I think that's how you have to approach it, as it's how you have to approach most Christmas movies, to be honest.
So I'll say that on Letterboxd, which is Film Snob Central, hello, resident there, it has a 3.0, which is like a very average score. You know, it's like people are like, yeah, I like it. You know, it's not one of the greats, but I like it.
Yeah.
They're snobby over there. This is not a snobby movie.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. For
yes,
for,
exactly. It's scored correctly.
Like certain action movies like Heat, which you know I don't love, I think it has like above a 4. So
is Heat a Christmas? No, never mind.
No,
get
it
off.
Is not. No. All right, we're moving on.
Moving on.
We're
no
moving
tree,
on.
No Christmas movie.
Is coffee
Alicia,
soup?
Do you want to read the log line?
Sure. Let me find it. Santa is drunk and sick of our shit this Christmas Eve. When he gets stuck in a house of rich assholes getting robbed, he takes matters into his own hands and saves the only kid on the nice list he can find. Trudy for the win.
Trudy. We have a lot going on here. Alicia, you know what? No, I'm really eager to hear David's hot takes right
okay.
now because
okay.
David sent me an incendiary message about this movie like a month ago.
I even went on Letterboxd and posted my raw.
Yeah, I read your review.
and now he's trying to open the door back to the nice list. So
well, yeah, you know, Trudy and Santa, you know, their little relationship worked on me. Actually, it didn't. That's on my naughty list.
Yeah.
What is on my nice list though is I watched it that first time and it was. It was not enough John Wick and too much Christmas magic for me. And yeah, like this movie can't have enough violence in it. It's extremely violent. And then as we were approaching this recording, I was like, okay. So I read a little bit more of the production history for it, you know, how it got made and that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I finished my watch of Die Hard, the first Die Hard movie. And then I watched this movie again because I had watched it Violent Night so long ago that I actually didn't remember. And so when you were asking us, well, you know, our questions that we have for the outline, I was like, oh shit, I don't remember the movie at all. So I had to go back and grudgingly watch it at like 1.5 speed. And then I slowed it down and actually I kind of enjoyed it the second time. Mm-hmm. It was like, I got it. I understand, I got the vibe. And the thing that really changed it for me is that it is a parallel to Die Hard. It is that Die Hard is the framework for it. And so when I knew that and I could see all of the things that they kind of mimicked and played, obviously they threw in some Home Alone in there and stuff. So I got it in a better way. And then I could just relax and, you know, had my jammies on and, ate some cereal in bed and had a good time with it. So there's still some things that bother me, but all in all, it's well put together as a film. The plot, the action, that there's a lot of great action. There's a lot of stuff that really makes you cringe. And you're like, no, like there are images in my head that I'm not going to get out for a while. The Home Alone, like actually ramping up the Home Alone violence was kind of good. So I get it. And I should go back onto Letterboxd and delete my mean words so that Santa doesn't give me a lump of coal up my ass.
You can do a re-review and say, you know what, second viewing, I feel differently. That's what I.
All right, I'm opening up my magic scroll here, and it says David's on the nice list now.
Okay, good.
hold on, I have it here.
You're on my nice list.
Oh, did you pull some? Cool.
Yeah, so we've got a lot going on here. David, I was thinking about the way to approach this movie, and honestly, the way I watch Christmas movies, I realize, is very similar to the way I watch Doctor Who, which is use any amount of hand waving that you need to get me to a wholesome, fun story. And because Doctor Who also, you have to really stomach a lot of very, very sloppy writing. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing here, right? But you can still enjoy that. It's just not the same way I want to watch Game of Thrones or Rings of Power or Wheel of Time or anything like that. Right. And so I really did enjoy it. Like, I was delighted by this movie. I actually walked into it after you told me it was terrible. I was like, oh no, this might be bad. And especially because I have a chip on my shoulder about David Harbour right now. So I was ready to go in and hate on him. But he was incredible in this role. I thought he really embodied Santa. This whole thing, I guess I'm going into my hot digs, but just I thought he really did an amazing job getting a good balance between wholesome and warrior, which is such a hard thing to do, right? You're going to have Santa go murder a bunch of people. How do you get everyone to still be like, oh, but it's Santa with the kid? And he really nailed it. I thought that the kills were all really creative. I think I didn't put this in the outline, but maybe we could all say our favorite kill.
I have one, I think.
Okay. And just, some of the writing is really, really lazy, right? Like the stuff around the family business and stuff, you're like, all right, okay. You just kind of have to wave that away. But that's really just a vehicle to get to cool action scenes, right? Basically. And that's kind of why I forgive it, is it's just a vehicle for the actual main event, which is David Harbour being both, you know, naughty and nice. Alicia, your hot takes?
So I guess I'm the only one who saw it when it came out of the three of us.
Definitely did not see it in the theater, did I?
So, yeah, I saw it in the theater. I think I went with a friend, but I can't remember who. So my recollections are obviously hazy, but I do recall walking out and being like, that was just a lot of fun. I think it was a nice like theater response. And so I gave it 4 stars after that. And I was also like, I went in knowing the whole tag, like Die Hard but Santa. So I was kind of like, we'll see how I feel about it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I liked it more than I expected. So I came out, gave it 4 stars. This time I rewatched it. Still a fun time. Not nearly as fun, you know, just in my living room in the middle of the night. I gave it 3 stars this time. I think it's silly. It's got, well, we'll talk about the naughty and nice stuff. I'll hold off on that. But I like it. It's not going to be one of my annual go-tos, but I'm very glad to revisit it. Definitely going to watch the sequel. And question about, you brought up his digital nice list. He said, Christmas magic. I still don't really understand how it works. Was almost one of my sins, one of my naughties. But do you think his list just like upgraded in his hands 1 year? From paper, presumably? To digital?
Is it digital or is it magic? I thought that was magic screen.
Oh, okay. It just looks like LED light prints.
I think that's just because it was made with VFX and maybe not the best budget in VFX. Like, it's $20 million is not a lot for a movie, for like a big blockbuster movie.
No, it was fine VFX. You know, not great, but fine.
Yeah,
I have a comment about the green screen stuff later on. I'll save that. I'll add that to my nice, because I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm. So, Alicia, since you mentioned the sequel, do you want to just tell us what's going on with the sequel?
So apparently it's coming out December 4th, 2026, in the US at least. And it's they already have the tagline out. It's stranded in a crumbling New Jersey mall and cut off from the North Pole. Santa Claus is trapped, dishing out violent justice to a ruthless crime lord and his henchmen overrunning the town's mall. And they have the same writers are coming back, and they said the sequel would have a Western influence and that also be influenced by Miracle on 34th Street. And so David Harbour's returning as Santa, but it sounds like the rest of the cast is all new. We have Kristen Bell as Mrs. Claus. And then we have a bunch of other new cast members, including Jared Harris, Joe Pantoliano, and Daniela Melchior. So, yeah, it looks like a great cast. I hope they at least tell us what happened to little Trudy.
How does Jared Harris have the time to do this? I feel like he's in every single piece of media I watch.
Don't you watch Foundation? He's cloned himself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I like this. For some reason, I thought it was the second one was already out, because I'm just completely oblivious to these titles. But that it's coming, okay, that's cool. And then what you just explained, it feels like they can track the Die Hard movies kind of nicely and then keep sort of expanding this world. And it can be one of those things where, oh, it's Jared Harris this month, you know, this movie. And then who's the next bad guy in the next movie, right? They can keep playing with this idea and run it for, you know, 4 or 5 movies. I think it's kind of cool. I'm kind of enamored with the idea now.
Well, good, because you're getting them anyway. I mean, they're not letting go of that success. Come on. That's
exactly no cash grab, right? Let's go.
Get you put David Harbour in a suit and give him a knife or a hammer, and he's good to go.
But he's got to have the Viking man bun.
That would be great. That would be great if they like really did it.
But they did it in this movie.
Well, that was just in the flashback, right?
No, but at the
he
end.
He had it the whole time? I didn't even notice.
No, not at the whole time. At
when
the
he
end.
Was stitching himself up.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, well, we've organized this into a making a list and checking it twice section, where we're each going to do our three favorite things and three least favorite things of the movie, structure it that way, and it will be our naughty list and our nice list. So we'll go through and we'll just go Alicia, me, David, one naughty thing, and then we'll each do one nice thing. All right, well, let's do one of each every time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So Alicia, give me your naughty.
Naughty.
Okay. okay. So I'll say, and I know other people will feel differently. And here's another one of my hot takes. I am not a huge fan of the Home Alone movies. So
gasp.
I know I did not appreciate that aspect of this film either. That was my least favorite aspect of this film. So that's a naughty and nice. I guess I already hinted at it. Viking Santa. I forgot about that actually until I rewatched until he like had off his shirt and he had like the tats and stuff. I was like, that's right. He's Viking Santa. He's got the skull crusher hammer. He's got the hair. Yeah. I hope we get more of his backstory.
I totally thought of you when that reveal happened. And then later when he lists off all of the different, I don't know, what do you say? Nom de guerre? It's not nom de guerre. Like what would be a nom de something?
Nom de plume. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but you know, but something thematically, right? So that would be funny. Anyway, no more wordplay for me. but when he was listing off all the different names of, you know, the Christmas spirit thing around the world, I was like, oh, I wonder how Alicia is like this or not.
Oh, but there's one important thing about that is that he did not mention Sinterklaas, which is actually where the American Santa gets its name.
Okay.
Is the Dutch Sinterklaas. So I was like, how dare you leave that?
They had to cut it off somewhere.
They had. They should have started with that. That's one back from Santa.
Exactly. Anyway. All right. Fair enough. Yeah.
It is that is more lore accurate, I think. But that's right. Yeah, I did. Right. I did think that was cool, and I thought that it was a fun twist and a fun take and a cool direction to go. So that you've got some depth to the character now, rather than what, like, how did he get here? What is his origin story? They did mm-hmm. a nice way to set it up. But then we didn't get lost in it either, which means that we've got room for it later in later movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have definitely seen an act two that was just like all of his like journey to become Santa Claus. But I look forward to the prequel movie in 2030. Where exactly. You know,
who's going to play him? Some like probably like Finn Wolfhard or some like child.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't do that.
Oh, no. Actually, you know who, if we're going Stranger Things, what's his Gaten Munns? What's his name? The one who plays Dustin? He could grow into a David Harbour type.
You think so? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. All right. Well, I'm going to go right into my naughty and nice list. I'm going to go with your warrior Viking backstory. And actually, I thought the lack of development was a weakness.
Okay.
I almost would move it to the nice list just because I think that does leave room for future development. But I still think they could have done a little bit more. Like, it was just not enough, right? Like, it was just very, very, very light touch. And like, you had a whole scene of seeing him as a warrior for like 30 seconds and that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could have used a little bit more. Little late on delivering the hammer to Mrs. C. You know, mm-hmm. could have been a little more prompt on that, Kristen Bell. My nice bit, I'm going to say, I loved the Christmas magic bit. I actually really liked the whole like Christmas magic. Not really sure how it works, because
they're not going to spend time on that. Yeah.
Well, that because like I didn't need you to tell me all the lore of it. I know we're on the lore hounds, but I just didn't mm-hmm. need that. And second, I like how David Harbour sold it as he's delighted by it too. And part of this movie, as much as it's about the violence, is about Santa rediscovering why he does what he does. And that was part of, you know, every time, you know, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have until it's lost, right? The sack disappears, the reindeer run off. And he's like, Christmas magic, not really sure how it works. And he's just like amazed by his own situation yet again. And I thought that was a really clever way to play it. And I thought, you know, again, credit to David Harbour for really selling that with like just a little smirk and Christmas magic, you know, really good stuff. David.
Yeah. So I will, yes. And on both of your naughties and nices, and I'll say that the whole setup of the Santa thing, which we've been talking about, and then my naughty is that it was 20 minutes about, it was about 20 minutes too long for me mm-hmm. because they went too much into the Christmas magic stuff. I was like, oh, Jesus, you know, by the end of this, I thought we were going to get a little bit more of the Santa backstory, which was fine, but we just spent like way too much time in the, oh, you got to believe. And, you know, the little conversations between Trudy and Santa and all that stuff. It was just like a little bit too much. And I thought if the movie ended at like 135, 140, something like that, I felt it would have been a lot more punchy and more fun. And it would have been more of a thrill ride, but they just sat too long in the feelings. And so I think that's connected, but at the same time, I loved how they set up the whole Santa thing, especially where you go from this aging drunkard who doesn't really care anymore. And apparently David Harbour, not only was he training a lot for the fight scenes, he had to put on excess weight to get that chubby body so that when he takes his shirt off, you're like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, this guy, he fits it. Like he really went for the bit. And so going from like the very first fight scene where you're like, oh, he's kind of getting his ass handed to him, to the end where he's back in sort of full fighting trim. I thought all of that worked really well. So sort of a combined thing, a little too long, but love the whole conceit for how they set up Santa and again, opening up for future possibilities for the franchise.
If I were to cut scenes, I would probably cut scenes between the family. I really did not care about any of that.
Well, that's your naughty list, right? Or is that on your naughty list? Or
oh, that is. All right. Sorry. Yeah. I'm going to jump ahead of you, Alicia.
No, you do it.
It's, you know, the family just was so unlikable that it was kind of hard to watch. I did mention to Alicia, I think Edie Patterson is her name. She plays Alva, the sister, you know, the main guy's
sister.
She
did a good job acting. Like, their performances were good.
She plays basically the exact character in The Righteous Gemstones. Okay. Like, she is the heiress to the, like, evangelical megachurch fortune. Mm-hmm. And she wants to be in charge. And she's pissed off that she's not. And she's always, like, gunning for somebody and insulting them and being really petty. And I was like, oh, you just had her play that exact character. in the same situation. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe that's just who she plays.
Well, it would have been nice for her just show up on set, play a character you've already got nailed down and you know, take the bag and you're good, right?
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. I don't know which came first, though. I think because Righteous Gemstones came out, I think it started 2021 or 2022.
Okay, I'll look it up.
So, yeah, maybe it was about the same time she was filming them, right? She just, like, showed up to play the character in a different set with a different name.
First episode air date was in August 2019.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. They must have taken a couple gap years then. So, anyway, yeah, it was fun to watch her. But other than that, like, I don't know. I didn't care for the main guy. I can't even remember his name.
The husband?
Yeah.
Which the son of the Lightstone, the Lightstone son. Yeah.
Yeah. I just did not care about him. Obviously, grandma was just totally awful. Trudy was the only person with any kind of redeeming qualities. Maybe
her mom?
Yeah, maybe her mom, but like honestly, I don't think they set up enough of like why she was pissed that he was working too much. Like what exactly was he doing wrong? Because it came off a little bit like, oh no, my lobster is too buttery and my steak is too juicy. I have to go to the mansion for Christmas, you know? And I mean, you could see that like her mother-in-law is awful, but like other than that, you go, okay, if you don't have to see her and he's just working and you know what I mean? They could have set up like you missed this thing, but it sounds like before they split up, he was actually a really good dad and really involved. So you're like, what's the problem here?
They set him up immediately to be a not bad dad.
Right.
You know, like maybe a little hapless, but from the moment he was like, he's into Christmas, he's happy to see his daughter, all of that stuff. So it was like, I agree with you that there wasn't enough evidence to show us why they were split.
Right.
There wasn't enough there for it.
Yeah, it was just telling and not showing, right? Like they could have met
when they got in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a little shortcutting there. So like it was both too much of the family and then not enough development of the family. Mm-hmm. Whereas I just felt like I just didn't enjoy my time with them. So every time we were in the hostage room, I was like, ugh, get back to the Santa slashing.
Right. And then the tropes with the hashtag blessed with the son, Bertrude.
Bertrude. That was a good gag. That was a genuinely good gag.
And the what's the guy who is the husband? The actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he runs away, you're like, you get it. Yeah, exactly.
I love when she's like, he may have been an idiot, but he was hot.
Morgan Steele, that was the character's name, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jason is the main guy, yeah.
So, yeah, they spent a lot of time. Again, all of that was really clear and apparent and surface, and it was easy to get that side of the Lightstone family. We didn't need to spend as many minutes with them to get the point. And I think, again, punch up the movie a little bit by trimming back a few minutes.
I did think it was kind of fun when the mom goes, well, Lightstones are supposed to take what they want, and you did that, and I'm proud of you, son. After he stole from her, you're like, how is this family gonna work out after this? This is wild.
That was the for the epiphany moment where the family relationships are healed. Like it was a funny gag. That was kind of, it was like, oh, okay. She's really proud of him now. You know, all these years he's been a simpy, sappy kind of guy trying to do the right thing for his mom. And it's only when he steals from his mom that she has respect for him. I was like, okay, I get that. That's fine.
Yeah. And I'm just going to give my nice here so that I'm finishing my round. The candy cane dagger really got me because I watched this twice actually. And the second time I was like, oh, they really set this up well, because at first Trudy's putting out the cookies. She goes, and her mom goes, well, Santa gets a candy cane? She goes, yeah, of course. And then later he sees it, shoves it in his pocket, prominent shot of it. And then he's sucking on it. And you just think it's like a cool shot of him, like almost like a cigarette, sucking on it while he's beating everybody down. But then he rips it out and he sucked it down to a dagger.
Yeah, and, perfect.
And that just, yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I thought that a lot of the Christmas themed kills were great. And I guess I'm going to open it up there. Does anybody else have a favorite kill they want to share?
Alicia, do you want to go ahead?
I suppose it would be the one that I remember the most is one of the first ones where one of the bad guys, whatever, is going up the stairs and we can see the stair. It's actually the beginning of the Home Alone sequence, but this is brutal. We can see the stair has been sawed partly in half, so he trips and falls and a nail goes through the bottom of his jaw.
Yeah. That was one of the real cringe. That was like epic cringe.
I remember in the theater the reaction to that one, because that is like the first big one too. And everyone's like, whoa.
I don't know. Somebody gets impaled before that. So I don't know if it's the first big one.
Well, but yeah. But we're used to seeing like a normal.
Okay. No, the impaling is the first death.
Yeah.
Is the first death of the Sugar Plum crew or whatever.
But we're used to seeing that kind of death, falling out of a building onto like a big post. That happens all the time. The nail thing was new.
Right, but that was the Home Alone, which was later, and then the guy that falling, getting thrown out of the window and landing on the icicle spike was the first death.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, David, any favorite kill?
I liked, it was really the finishing touch of the kill, and I think it was, where was his name? I think it was Frosty, when his hair catches on fire. He's the guy that got the star in the eye. And when he plugs in the switch and electrocutes him, like that was the funny bit. And then it catches his hair on fire. I really enjoyed that. That was a good twist.
Yeah, that was good. And honestly, they do a good job of like having a lot of themed kisses, right? Like stuff your stocking with the grenade. And then he goes, I got to watch it. All that. Like sucking the other guy up the chimney. Like, come on.
That was good. Yeah,
that was a good one.
There's so many good kills in this.
And they foreshadowed the chimney. So you're like, hey, what is it going to fall on them or something? And then he does the nose thing and he goes up. It was good.
I thought he was going to go through the chimney and then dive onto him. And swing the hammer at him from above, take an aerial shot.
The bowling balls that was hard. That was hard to watch. Like from a cringe standpoint, when the bowling balls were bouncing at them, that was also tough to process.
Yeah. Alicia, I stole your spotlight. So what's your naughty and nice?
Well, you might have noticed I was kind of quiet when you guys were hating on the family aspect of it, because that's on my nice list. For me, I don't know. I accept it. They were caricatures, and and knowing that's I was perfectly happy with the character. I thought that they were good caricatures. You know, they were fun caricatures. They were distinct from each other, and you know, I still thought, even despite all of the bickering, and I do agree that at times like the bickering was, come on, almost too unlikable. But then it came together in the end, and it's like, you know, the family that murders together is friends with Santa together. I don't know. Save the world, kill with your family. I don't know. Sorry. No, that's, don't take that out of context. Do not clip that.
Officer. No, I agree with you. Like, that was a nice part. It's just like, again, like Jason, and what was his wife or estranged wife's name?
Oh gosh, I just had it open. Is it Alva?
No, that's the sister.
That's the sister.
Linda. Okay. So Jason and Linda, like, Linda's the only one who, other than Trudy, obviously, who like doesn't do anything wrong. I don't know if she really does anything right either. You know what I mean?
Who, Linda?
I liked her bit Linda where shoots. She started shooting. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah,
yeah. She does start to shoot. Uh-huh. She does start to shoot. Jason just straight up sucks. He's just like kind of an idiot. And maybe I do understand why she left him, because he is kind of dumb. And like, and I like when he goes, when she goes, you thought that the solution to being too tethered to your mother's money was to steal your mother's money. Yeah. It's like, I guess it does sound dumb when you say it that way. Anyway, sorry, Alicia, go on.
The other hand of like me saying that the family were interesting. They're interesting caricatures. They're fun caricatures for me. The baddies were, I just found them very like superficial and over the top and interchangeable. And the baddies really did not do it for me, especially on a rewatch.
Really? Yeah. They were flat for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Like I think the first time I watched, I was a bit interested in the girl with the punky hair. But then once you find out like, oh no, she just sucks and then gets her head bashed in, like, okay, well, whatever.
And you can't even count on her to smash a guy's balls. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But the what about the Krampus bad guy? The psycho.
He was
the most interesting, I guess.
What's he? I don't know. I don't really remember much about him.
That was the guy with them, with the hostages the whole time.
Yeah. He was the one who made them I felt like he was like an exposition machine, and he did that well. Like that was, but I was more interested whenever it went to him. I was like, oh, I'm interested again because the family's back in it.
Got it. Right. Yeah. Because he was always with the family during that stuff. I did like the setup of when Bertrude, Linda, and what's the daughter's name again? Alva. We're like, no, shoot him first. No, shoot him first. No, shoot them for her first. That was kind of a funny little bit.
But then I didn't understand why he was just like, whatever you say, derp, derp, derp. So
right. And why didn't he just shoot one of them? Like he
did not have charge of that room at all, as much as he wanted to think he did.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. David?
Yes, sir. I think on my naughty list are... I don't know if I should go with the bar, the American bar that's supposed to be in England, I think, or was that in Connecticut? I don't know. That didn't work for me at all. But the real thing, I might get in trouble for this. I don't know. The hammer thing, like when he gets the hammer and he's sexing it up and swinging it around, I was like, oh, okay, come on, just get to it. And then the slide, when he took that little slide thing and he not only on foot does he catch up to them and is able to cut them off, but then does the slide onto the snowmobile. I was just like, okay, this is ridiculous.
It's Christmas magic, David. His sledding prowess is off the fucking chart. He also couldn't realistically make a dagger out of his peppermint stick, but that I'm willing to say more. That's Christmas magic.
I bought that more. So there was a little silliness there. But my nice is the fact that David Harbour, as you were saying before, nailed this role. He is perfect for this role. I don't know anybody else who could have played sort of the sloppy over the hill drunk with that heavy gravitas, the right body type, and the physical prowess to do everything that he did. And I felt that I said this before, I think during my hot takes, his journey from broken and not caring anymore to being Santa again. Like, I believed it. In a lot of movies, the turn comes really quick and you don't have a lot of evidence for it. And this one, even though I didn't have a problem with him and Trudy, their scenes together, there was just too much of it. It wasn't that it was there. It was stretched out so much. But that really did show his progression. That was the thing that progressed him. And I really believed David Harbour's performance in that. He didn't just go, oh, one day I'm mean and grumpy, and then the next minute I'm like Santa again. There was a progression, and that really worked for me. So I don't know who else could play this role. I literally don't.
I would accept Jack Black, but
no, not for this.
No, I think he doesn't punch as hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Has Jack Black done an action movie?
Does Jumanji
Yes,
count?
He did. Yeah, Jumanji.
I don't know. Okay, I haven't seen Jumanji, so.
Oh, Anaconda is a new pretty good one, right?
What'd you say?
Isn't he in the new Anaconda that's coming out on Christmas?
Oh, is he?
Oh, I don't know. But he also, he played not Santa in Dear Santa.
You're
and
right.
I started watching that. I was not super into it, but it wasn't him that was the problem.
Okay.
But yeah, he's got his own weird Christmas movie where he plays Satan pretending to be Santa.
He's going to be in the Minecraft movie?
He was in the Minecraft movie.
He was in
the movie. Oh, you're not in, you don't know. Lava, chicken.
Okay. I'm not watching.
He was in Waterworld? Dear God.
Really?
What's going on? Yeah. Well, according, it's on his list of movies.
So. We've covered one of his movies before. We did High Fidelity.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. That's not an action movie.
Yeah. No, I know. But I don't know. I just have a soft spot in my heart for Jack Black between of Rock. Like, I grew up with School of Rock. You know what I mean? He's always just been like, I believe he has more range than people give him credit for.
Do you know Elle Fanning in interviews is always fawning over him? He's her celebrity crush.
Oh, funny.
That's so funny.
I can't wait to see the master list of Christmas movies, though, that we might cover for future things, because there's a lot of stuff that I'm completely unaware of.
Yeah. All right, Alicia, you're naughty and nice list. Last one.
Okay, I'll start with nice is that despite me finding the baddies superficial, I thought that there were really fun fights, even though I am not an action person, but I still, just the inventiveness of the action. I have to say, because another hot take of mine, I don't really love the John Wick movies, so I like this better than the John Wick movies, and that probably has to do with them getting me to care enough about the characters that I'm locked in to the action. But I think it's also just the inventiveness of all the Christmas stuff and everything that we've been talking about.
It was, I will give them a lot of credit. They really they seem to have a lot of fun figuring out how to weave in the Christmas stuff to all the aspects, not just the kills, but everything. It was like a funny movie. It was a genuinely funny movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then my last naughty is, how dare they make us poors watch all that money burn and tell us it's the true meaning of Christmas. I'm thinking, like, one bag of that could change my life forever. You are bankrupting small countries right now. What are you doing? I kind of hated that ending in theater. And this time I was like, oh, right, it ends like this. Boo. So.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
They are quite out of touch. Also, they just kind of gloss over the fact that they like stole that from the U.S. taxpayer, and
you know
what would have
money
been
you took
good,
out of circulation.
But do you know what's a good, what would have been a good way to redeem Jason in my eyes is for him to be like, I'm cooperating with the feds and I'm giving them the money back. And I'm finally gone from the family. Like, wouldn't that have been better for him getting his family back?
They wanted something over the top. I get that. But it's just another, or maybe we are supposed to see into that. Like, the rich are so out of touch that they think that just destroying wealth is the way to, even things out rather than redistributing it to the people who need it.
I guess so. The whole thing is just messed up. I agree with you. David, your last.
I feel like I've already said this is just too much Santa magic, which goes into the too long thing. It was, you could say that the very ending of them, you know, with the believe in Santa and he awakes again stuff. I get the trope of it and that they were playing with it, but I was just like, it was just too much. It was too long. It just took too long. Too much Santa magic, too long. So that's it. My nice aspect is just all the humor. The sleigh ride with the green screen I thought was a funny touch. They're like, fuck it, we're going to lean into it and it's going to be this. The butthole joke between Trudy and Santa was really funny. The little Santa ho 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 thing that gives away his presents right? And he calls him, he goes, traitor, you know, and he runs away. The hair on fire, which I already mentioned. Like all of it, there was just these funny moments throughout the entire movie. Even Bertrude, you know, with the hashtag blessed thing, you know, he was funny in his own way as well.
If that came out this year, he'd be saying 6-7. We all know.
Is that it? Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Are you not on 6-7 awareness?
We hear it.
He's
we
too
hear
old
it.
For it, right?
No, I have a 10-year-old. She comes home and.
No, but I mean, Bertrude is too old.
Oh, Bertrude, 6-7, yes. Right.
I don't know. I feel like 6-7 is everywhere now.
Yeah, but when did this movie come out? 2022?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it came out today,
right,
it would have been 6-7.
It's a dangerous thing to do, though, is to rely on those. Yeah. The hashtag mm-hmm. blessed at least has some longevity to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
For now.
Yeah, we're all going to forget about 6-7 by next year.
Right, but hashtag blessed will be around. That one, right. That one's not going to go out because it's we have a whole decade of influencers that we get to make fun of.
Well, I have my last two bits. I thought that the revival was absolutely stupid.
Agreed.
I thought I know what they were doing, like you're saying, David. I thought that the revival was very stupid.
He should have just survived. For so long.
It was a long time. So yeah, you could have cut 5 minutes there. But my nice list is, and you kind of touched on this, David, but like the beginning where he is just going off, and the bartender gets mad that he's going on the roof, and we do this thing that's in so many Christmas movies of looking up and going, oh my God, I just spoke to the real Santa. And then as she's coming to this realization, open mouth receives all on her head. It was terrible.
Was that supposed to be in England?
I think it was supposed to be in England.
It was not in English. And bad English accents. That's on my naughty list, 100%.
I didn't know it was supposed to be in England.
Yeah, I think when they flew off in the night sky, it was like, oh. But the other Santa down at the end in the bar, he was talking, you know, speaking with an English accent.
Oh,
and
okay.
She had an English accent, which was horrible.
So well, you know what? The English accent is a fake accent that they made up to sound better than the poor's. So
are you just trying to get downloads for the podcast, John?
I just don't respect it. I don't respect the English accent. I want that on record.
Which one?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't respect the posh English accent.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
Enough.
Now that I've lit England on fire, I know all of England is now listening to this podcast.
You've pissed off the people who will politely say that they are displeased with you.
They are 6% of our listenership. I will have you know, sir. Yeah.
Wasn't there like a piece of media? Was it Good Omens where they were like, if you don't do this, I will be mildly displeased. What was this? Anyway, somebody write in. I had a fun time talking about this movie with you too. And I know we said this was probably going to be a quick podcast because there's not a lot of substance to this movie.
Have we done a actual mainline podcast that is under an hour? I don't know what the last one that would have been.
I mean what I you're do watching them. Don't, you don't. Don't
I think all of our Murderbot and Doctor Who mostly.
Yeah, those were.
Fair enough.
But I think we did it. Alicia, you're going to have a list for us on the Die Hard episode.
Right. It is prepared. It is locked and loaded and ready for January. Well, yeah, we're going to put the list out. And then I guess subscribers will be able to vote in. I guess we can do a longer voting. So it's not just over the holidays when people.
Yeah, I'll get back. I'll be back that first weekend, and so I can get it together then.
So yeah, we'll have that list on the Die Hard episode. If you're a subscriber, you're gonna get it, and if you're not, you can always get a free trial on Patreon. So you know, may as well.
There you go.
It's the holidays.
Or check out the Discord, and maybe you'll find Santa left something nice in your stocking.
That's right. Yeah.
When that is going to close on the 24th, so you got to get over there real quick.
Yep, definitely go on the Discord if you're looking for a possible David Harbour leaving something other than puke under your tree.
Leaving Bruce Willis under your tree.
All right, see you all, everyone. We don't have any feedback for this, so let's do our quick. Do we have to do an outro for this? I feel like we don't really have to do an outro.
No, but we should mention a couple of things going on with the programming.
Yeah.
Radioactive Ramblers are covering the Fallout season. We're going to have episode to episode coverage. Did it binge drop or was it a, is it a weekly? It's a weekly,
it's,
isn't it?
It's weekly. Not weekly. It's like, it's in batches, I think.
Oh. Okay.
Or well, they're going to be covering it, and we've got channels set up in the Discord, so definitely check them out.
Oh, no, it is weekly after the first three episodes. Perfect. After the first two.
Oh, it's the typical Amazon thing where they do the three episode.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They are actually doing actual weekly. I am wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is weird.
That's what I thought.
We all take all of this back. Sorry.
I think they're wising up a little bit. They could own a little bit more of the market space. And we're finishing up on Pluribus. Did you guys drop your last Welcome to Derry?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was very exciting. It's getting real timey-wimey, and we had to get deep into Stephen King lore to try to figure out what was happening, and Mark, thankfully, was there to help us.
Very good. And then
I tried to explain imaginary time.
Okay. And we have our annual top 10, which we've already recorded, but that'll be out on the 25th, and then the Boxing Day episode with all of our friends and co-hosts and affiliate podcasts will be out on the 26th. And then we're going to be covering Knight of the Seven Kingdoms as a triarchy. The triarchy returns.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since the three of us have actually covered a mainline podcast all together.
Yeah. True story.
Pretty wild. What else, anything going on in your neck of the woods?
I'll just shout out, since it's Christmas time, I'll shout out, check out the Woolshift Dust feed for our annual coverage, our annual overly extensive coverage of the many, many adaptations of A Christmas Carol. So we covered a bunch more just before, the night before we're recording this. Luke and I recorded our Twists episode, and we talk about some really wild movies. So especially Ebenezer and Christmas Karma are just, wow, really special adaptations.
Cool. Anything else on the network that we should be paying attention to?
You'll just see a lot of, Second Breakfast is always, Silmarillion Stories coming back next year. We got a lot coming on. I'm going to be talking to, I'll wait to talk about that.
Oh, and Talamasca is coming out.
Talamasca is coming up. Okay. Or it should be out before this. Yep.
Cool.
All right. Want to do quick thank yous. I'll do server boosters. Someone else jump in to do the lore masters. Aaron K, Triller the Thriller, Doof 71, Athena A, Listu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, and Andreon. Thank you for boosting our Discord server and making sure we have all these perks. I'm all about the perks.
Lore Masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, SC, Peter OH, Nancy M, Duv 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Andra B, Kwang Yu, Nate T, Sub Zero, Aaron K, Dali V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Listu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Coley S, Il Mariel, Paul K, Rocky Zim, Jessica A, Red Zippy, The TCS, Dopamini, Catch It, LNR, and forever last but never least, Adrian. These are our top tier subscribers who, without their kindness and generosity, we would be hard pressed to make all of these podcasts. So thank you all, one and all, for all your support and for a lot of folks, a lot of ongoing support. There are people with us that have been here for a long time. So it always amazes me. So thank you all very much.
And Dopamini, I'm sorry that I only just now read the stage direction and I've been saying it wrong. I'll do better in the future. You have my word. All right, everyone. It's been fun. Merry Christmas. And hopefully we'll see you on the subscriber feed. If not, we'll see you next year.
Holy shit.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and comments to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Get ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts on Patreon or Supercast, and connect with us on Blue Sky and join us on our Discord server. Links for everything are in the link tree in the show notes of this episode. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team. with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.